Hubbub, a chaotic din caused by a crowd of people.
Welcome to season 5 of the Director's Hub podcast, Hubbub. I'm Faye Miller from Gingerbread World with my co-host Bruce Bignall from Evolve Pipe Drive. And first up on the season, we have Dan Ford from Story Screen.
Hello.
How are you, Dan?
I'm really well. Thank you, guys. It's so lovely to be talking to you both.
Well, it's great to have you on the podcast. So let's start by finding out a little bit about your business and what you do.
Well, so I run a business called Story Screen, which, as you'd expect, hopefully, as to why I named it, it tells you what it does. So we help businesses, experts, tell their stories on screen. Actually, I also help them tell their stories off screen as well. But let's just keep it focused. So yes, so basically by creating video content for businesses, for experts, people talking about what they do, kind of a bit like this, but just with pictures, of people telling their stories, their business stories, and connecting with audiences using storytelling, authentic, exciting messaging, interesting visuals, and really just useful story frameworks that help people to get across what they need to get across.
Brilliant. So how did you get into that? What's your background? Where did it all begin?
So this is kind of like a third act career for me. So I come to this, in a way, this is what I've always done.
Were you a teacher at one point, did you say that?
I was. Yeah, I was. I taught acting. Yeah. So my previous incarnation, if you think about Doctor Who's, right? The previous regeneration before me was an acting teacher. And a university lecturer. And then the previous generation before that, I was an actor. So that's where I started. So my first career was as an actor.
Is that where the love and the through line, how powerful a story can be?
Exactly.
Because there's the on-screen, off-screen. Are they the same story?
Say again, so Bruce.
If you have a framework and you attend with a business, it's
yes.
Like, here's the story for the screen.
Yeah.
Is their internal story different to what they might share?
Potentially. I mean, we might decide the stories that we want to tell. We can't tell everything. Mm. But really, there's a through line between all of those things that I've done that lead towards that. Because, you know, in terms of acting, in terms of creating a story, telling it directly to an audience, everything we need to know about that in terms of the story structure, in terms of what we reveal, in terms of the characters, the pacing, keeping things interesting, keeping things exciting, moving things on, and crucially, knowing when to stop and when to finish that story is all the same. And that thread moved through into, I guess, when I loved acting. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. It's no life, but it's wonderful when it works.
Any good roles? Tell us about some of the things you've done.
So I did a lot of theatre, a little bit of TV, a little bit of radio. But it was theatre mostly, which is actually, funnily enough, very different to what I do now with the video, because I guess actually the theatre was the thing that gave me the most, that direct connection with the audience.
The feedback.
Yeah, the feedback and the ability to then change and shift and modulate it, slow things down, speed things up.
Do you get into a flow state when you're in the act?
That is exactly right, Bruce. Yeah, it is a flow state. When it works, and you don't always get that right. Yeah. You have some performances that feel like, you feel like you're working the whole time. And others where actually it really flows. And as always, the audience might not necessarily know the ones where you feel like you really have to work. But
people on stage do.
And you certainly do.
Yeah, you certainly do.
And I guess in some ways it's the same for someone telling their story, whether that's on stage or off. You know, you want to be able to get into that flow state. We're doing a podcast right now, right? If this podcast starts feeling like, actually, God, we're really having to grind the gears here.
Yeah.
What we want, what we know will be a good piece of content, for lack of a better word, is going to be something where actually we forget that we're doing this, where the flow becomes natural. Mm. And that's really where you want to get to with any of that, because I used that term authenticity earlier. Really, that's what we're really interested in the 21st century more than ever, is we want to be able to feel that authenticity.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, I guess, like you said, some stuff flows easily, some stuff is a real hard slog. Yeah. When you get people in and they're not, obviously you're used to acting, you have experience of it, but you get people in who are business people who have no experience whatsoever. How do you encourage them from being sort of the straight, grey, business-suited person into sort of opening up a bit?
Well, I think time is really, really key. You can't just, I'd love to say, you know, work with me, I'll spread some magic fairy dust on you, and all of a sudden you'll be incredibly smooth and garrulous, and it'll just be like you're on Graham Norton. But really, it's time.
Yeah.
So what I like to do when I'm working with people, everyone's different. So I learned this particularly when I was teaching acting. So my students, different people would have different superpowers, I used to call them. You know, someone's might be, you know, that they're sort of their strength and their authority that they might give off naturally without really meaning to.
Yeah.
Others might be incredibly engaging. Again, that's something we all have, things I think that we get for free.
Yeah.
So I think what's really important to me when I'm working with anyone, and that's whether I'm preparing someone for a sort of TED style talk on stage, or whether we're creating a video that might be about us for a website, is that we can't rush it.
Yeah.
I always like to do a good Zoom or a chat or a meetup with someone beforehand, so I can begin to establish that relationship with them. Yeah.
So that's how it starts, basically. You get to know, you get to feel of what they're like, and how nervous they are on camera or talking to you, perhaps, I suppose.
And that they begin to feel comfortable with me as well. And then we might focus on what works for them. So everyone will have areas where they're excited. And that's what we want, particularly when you're getting someone on video. Actually, it's not about the content. It's not necessarily so much about what it is that they're saying. But if you see the light in someone's eyes whilst they're talking about that thing that they're excited about, that communicates far more on a human level.
It's quite infectious, isn't it, I suppose?
The transfer of enthusiasm.
Massive.
Is some people say that's what sales is, right? So how can you transfer your enthusiasm to somebody? That isn't how I define sales, by the way. But some people would say that transfer, if you're passionate about something, that will show, that will come across.
So finding that human element, and sometimes that's the same with... going back to videography, I'm shooting B-roll, which is the term for the stuff that isn't the interview, right?
We've got quite a lot of that today, I think, already.
Put all of it in the podcast, but
those shots of other people whilst they are genuinely engaged in what they're doing. And again, this comes back to what I did when I was acting, when I was teaching acting. The difference between, and you've seen this, we've all seen this in brand photography shoots, right? You can tell the difference in all that brand photography on LinkedIn when someone's genuinely having a conversation with someone else rather than when someone's pretending to be on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm pretending to type in my brand photograph. You can tell. You just want someone really engaged in an action. And really what it comes down to is different ways of helping that person not think about themselves, but engage in the action that they're doing.
Do you find that sometimes you have... people come to you with an idea. This is what I want to do. I want to have this about us video. I want to do this branding video. And then it evolves and you have to say to them, that's not really going to work that way. I think it would be better this way, just because of the way their personality is or the things that light them up.
A little bit. It's not necessarily because of them as an individual. It's more because sometimes I really love it when clients come and they have specific ideas about the thing they want to communicate.
Yeah.
Sometimes we always go back to basics, and this is something that comes back to my actor training that flows through into the business, which I'd imagine if the audience of this is largely business related and thinking that might sound quite fluffy, but actually, so one of my processes from when I was an actor was, you know, we were taught in a kind of Stanislavskian style where I went to drama school. And that means that basically everything's about objective.
And that was
Stanislavski. Russian turn of the century actor, actor teacher. We don't need to know about this. Yeah. The point is that really, so his work was, and our work was guided a lot by objective. So for example, if you are, you know, you've got something in a scene, you're not going to go, well, I'm sad at this point. I'm going to write sad in the corner of my script and I'm going to do a sad face. That's rubbish, right? actually, what you want is your objective. So, okay, my objective is to get this out of Bruce, to get Bruce to do this. Therefore, I will do X, Y, and Z in order to maybe, I will try those different things in order to achieve that objective. If you pivot that towards talking to an audience, if you pivot that towards video, we use the same thing. What's your objective? What are you trying to get out of this? Who's your audience? Where are they going to find this? What could your audience feasibly take on? What do they already know? What do they need? What are they lacking? And we come back to all sorts of other business stuff that we've had. What problem of theirs can you solve? So in that same way, if you've got an objective, if you're the speaker, whether you're sat and you're being filmed or whether you're on a stage, if you have a clear objective overall, clear objectives for different parts of the story that you're telling, then you become engaged in those. You're no longer thinking, oh, what am I doing? What are my hands doing? Your focus is on that objective outside yourself, trying to convince, trying to educate, trying to excite, whatever it is that you need to do in that moment. And I find that can be really releasing. It takes a while to get there. And I don't like to necessarily with my clients let them know that we're doing this.
Yeah.
But really it's about finding different ways to get your point of focus outside yourself, whether that's an activity or whether that's the person that you're talking to, the audience.
I was just about to say there, is the goal orientated? Are you trying to elicit an emotion? Are you trying to achieve them to take some actions? So it could be different things, but it has to just be definable to get them there.
Exactly. It has to be definable. We've got to start by often right now, video's booming, it still is. I've always had clients who come to me going, I want to do video, I need to do video, because we all need to do video because my LinkedIn's looking very boring.
Yeah.
Okay, why? What's the purpose? Let's get that. And once we get that purpose right, then everything else begins to slot in. If actually you're just throwing ideas at it and you've got some sort of vague feeling, if we make it specific, specificity is the key.
So that's a big part of what you do, is honing in on that, as you say. Otherwise, it's just sort of throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something will stick.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of people coming to you saying, we've seen lots of people doing videos on LinkedIn, or we've seen our competitors, they're doing these great videos, da 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 da. We need to do something, but without any kind of plan behind
what sometimes they're gonna do. Yeah, that does sometimes happen. But even though that's a starting point, right? Yeah. It's a starting point to begin to think about those ideas and generate those ideas. And to often pare back.
Yeah.
So that actually all those ideas don't all happen in one video.
Of course.
I've got a client I'm going to be working with later this month, and actually, we've realised that it's not one video, it's five.
Yeah.
It's five short ones on different parts of the website that are all really tight to the point. Yeah. And tell people what they need to know.
But that's sort of great in a way, isn't it? Because then they've got not just one piece of content, they've got five different pieces of content they can use and repurpose for different platforms as well. So I suppose that's good for them as much as anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, sorry, Joe. Sorry, Chris.
That gets me thinking about the principles of what you're trying to do, so the goal-orientated, and then what is now happening with technology, right? So whether it's long form, the democratization of being able to create the content, how's that impacted you from a storytelling method? Do you leverage more, do this yourself, as user generated content, capture it yourself, and then we review it later? How's that changed your kind of working process?
That's a really good question. I think I love user generated content. I think it's really important. It's useful to look out and with a sharp eye and go, how much of that user generated content is really user generated content? Yeah. A lot of that is often someone's made that curated, look like it.
Yeah.
But because I think it's great, it gives you that authenticity, right? So the job of the videographer has really changed, because there's no sense saying, well, I've got a camera, right? Everyone's got a camera. We've all got a camera, we can all do it. And in the way that technology has sort of democratized that, it's great. It means that everyone is capable of being able to share that stuff. And it means that companies like mine do a slightly different job. Okay, it means that my clients might be after something that looks a little, a little bit more put together, and that's great. but also in terms of people being able to generate their own content in different ways. The elephant in the room is always AI. And I think that's really fascinating, because that's not really going to change, as far as I see myself, what I do. It's just a different tool. So we'll still always need the sort of the editor. And I say editor in the way that I know, Faye, you're aware of from your journalist background, as someone who's making decisions about what we use and what we don't.
Yeah.
About what the direction of travel is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? That's the being goal-orientated.
Yeah, and that's always, I mean, it's the same, I suppose, whether it's on you're making a video, whether you're writing a news piece, there's a slant to it, there's an angle, if you like, or a hook, depending on, you know, what you want to achieve with it. So, and I suppose the thing with AI, it's like, it's a useful tool, but you're still going to need that human input to do that, to decide, because AI, let's be honest, at this stage, can be quite generic with what it comes up with. It does tend to almost standardize some stuff.
Well, yes, I mean, that's also something that's really interesting about it. There was a story, I don't know how... Sorry, I've started us off on this AI route. This could be a whole podcast of its own. There was a story recently about how ITV were advertising for someone to basically, like, be the person who runs their AI to help them generate new ideas for programs, which was really interesting, because they were advertising for a person to run their AI.
Yeah.
Because that sort of thing, I mean, we talk about AI, really, it's a fancy name for just a slightly more powerful computing. That's really all that's happening. And it does all sorts of different things. So it can be useful as a tool for me. For example, it's really revolutionized how I clean up audio. It will be, I'm sure, have revolutionized how they're going to clean up the audio for this.
Yeah.
I used to have to manually change all of these different levels. Now I can run it through something which is super powered and get a fairly decent result much quicker. But it's not going to change my process in terms of how I make a decision about things. It's not going to change how I storyboard a video or write a script.
No, because I guess the danger is, and I find this with writing, is that if you were to ask AI to write you an article on something, then, oh my God, the number of times I see in the fast-paced world of, in the dynamic world of, in the ever-changing world. And I looked on a website when I was researching stuff for these podcasts the other night, and there came up on this website, which wasn't the right one that was on, but it started with that, and I thought, you've run your website through it. You've written it with AI. And that's the thing. It comes up with the same stuff over and over again, which I guess it's the same with video. It would come up with the same kind of, like, whatever in the fast-paced voiceover for a video. You know?
In a world.
Yeah.
Because it's all it can do is take an existing data set, learn from that, and then put that together.
Yeah.
It's not going to give you anything new. It's not going to shift the paradigm.
Well, it loses the individuality in a way, because it's just rinse and repeat, isn't it, almost at times.
But and it comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this, which is actually that the byword is authenticity.
Mm.
You know, and that's why if you are an expert founder, whoever, and actually you're going to get yourself on video, and I think it's worth making that description that a lot of the work that I do, you know, I will shoot things, but I'm most interested in shooting people. Don't take that out of context. I just heard that as I said it, and I was like, no, take it back. No, it's out there now. It's recorded.
Yep.
He seemed like such a nice... No.
Dressed to thrill just a kill.
Nice, normal neighbour.
No, later.
Anyway... if you're going to get yourself on video, you've got to get yourself on video. And it's the same when I'm talking to people, when I'm coaching speakers to work on stage. I work with a lot of researchers and academics, because the stuff they do is so fascinating. And we'll have a brilliant conversation, and I'll go, right, okay, let's start your talk, let's see where we're at. And they will immediately drop all of the personality that they've used in the conversation with me beforehand. And we see this when we present in business modes as well. We revert to this sort of safe thing where we go, I've got to drop my entire personality. The best thing you can do, the most impactful thing you can do, is bring yourself on stage with you. Mm. It's hard to do. Just be yourself. But that's actually how you connect with
people. Yeah, it comes back to sometimes you don't know who that person is. So that comes to the on-screen and off-screen story piece. Like, who is that person that was excited about that topic?
Yeah.
It might be the six-year-old Jason, or whatever it might be. Who is that person? Because that's why you're still doing this now, right?
Yes.
But they might not know that. So there's a, so I guess that's part of the...
There's a sort of deep psychological element that I can't...
But even when we talk about AI, in any department or any facet, whether it's large language models or kind of cleaning up audio, what's the principle, right? So in your world, it's the story that's trying to be told, and whether it's from the acting to training to act to now filming people that are acting. What are the principles that don't change there, right? So is it a case that you're always, and I don't know this, but is it the principle of sharing a message, getting an emotion across? Like is there a principle that won't change no matter how much AI throws or enables people to do more with?
I think that guiding principle, it remains the same. It's the same reason why someone goes to the theatre. It's that you want to be able to see someone, you want to be able to see something happen for real. Whether that's the look in someone's eyes as they think of that next word. Case in point, ums. I'm not against ums. Some other presentation coaches will really absolutely get out all of those ums and all those filler words. If you're relying on as a crutch, absolutely. But an can be really, really impactful and really authentic. That moment when you're seeing someone really look for the right word because they really want, they're really in that moment and they want to share that. So I think that guiding principle is that in the momentness. That's what we want. That's what we want to be part of. That's again why we want to listen to a podcast like this where... Get into that flow state you were talking about earlier. I've ruined it because I've referenced it, but still,
we're all back in the room. Now.
Back in the room. Oh, it was going so well. But getting that flow state you referenced, Bruce, I'm going to try and get us back into it. I've ruined it. I've gone. It's gone. I've killed it. Getting that flow state where we want to be able to listen to people, on podcasts as well, where actually things are really flying, where things are genuinely happening. If this podcast was, I just came in, had scripted this entire thing and just monologued at you, rather than hearing the crackle in the room as people look at each other, share ideas, and have that bounce of something that's happening.
It's the same as someone's reading a speech. We've all been there, whether it's a eulogy at a funeral or, standing up in front of a crowd of business people talking, mm-hmm. and people that have written out beforehand and they're more or less reading by rote from what they've written.
Or
and
reading the slide behind
yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds flat, even unless they're really good orators, which you do get, mostly it sounds flat. It doesn't sound spontaneous. It just sounds a bit wrong, I think is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess it's getting people not to be like that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's loads of ways to do that. And I don't necessarily want the people I work with to always be conscious about that.
Yeah.
But because, really, come back to what I used to do in acting and teaching acting is really similar to what it is now, which is that, we just want to find ways of making it seem like this is the first time this has happened. It might be the fifth take, but actually we're going to refine it a different way. I don't want you to repeat the same thing that you did. No one's interested in that. You want to be able to have that moment afresh each time, and whether that's, whether you're doing Shakespeare or whatever, or whether you're just telling someone about, about the numbers for your business, finding a way to make that happen freshly and for the first time, that's what keeps people engaged.
Yeah, I guess it does. And that's the important thing, as you say, keeping people engaged. Yeah. So where do you see it going? Where do you see the future of storytelling and video recording going? Do you think we're going to see more and more of this personalized content and sort of, if not for a better description, behind the scenes stuff rather than the more slick branded stuff? Or do you think there's room for both to sort of...
There's absolutely room for both.
Yeah.
And how one takes from the other.
Yeah.
Right, so you'll see more and more slick branded stuff that is also behind the scenes stuff, right?
Okay.
So even in terms of, stylistically.
So it's not off the cuff behind the scenes, like, oh, we've just flung up a video that we've just filmed in 5 seconds.
Or you'll see something that's shot, but you can see the joins, right? You can see the lights in the shot. You'll see,
Okay.
We want to be able to feel like we're not being, you know, it's not so slick and slippery that we're being sold to.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally I'll get this from, it's the equivalent of, I guess, another version of what you were saying earlier, Faye, about, you know, about that, but just reading the text yeah. thing in a presentation. It's the same sometimes when you see this with videos that are so slick.
Yeah.
And because this is an oral medium, I won't be able to show that, but I'll do that in the sort of voiceover version of it. We sometimes, and sometimes you get this from AI voiceover as well, right? You get those voiceovers that are just so smooth and so slick, and everything has the same weight and doesn't really change, and it's really smooth and sounds really polished and professional.
It's pretty good,
but yeah. everything just slips right off. It's just like, oh my God, shoot me in the face, yeah. because it's so smooth and slippy, and there's nothing yeah. to grip onto.
Just like you'd make a good hypnotherapist, actually. That's that voice.
I might move into that. But so the visual equivalent or the storytelling yeah. equivalent of yeah. that, coming back to the erms.
Yeah.
I don't mind an erm. If you're really genuinely looking for the right thing to say,
yeah.
then that's great. Yeah, it shows that you care. It shows that you are present and there with that person, whether they're watching you on a stage or whether they're watching you on a little black rectangle in the palm of their hand.
Well, we've come back to that authenticity thing again, and that I think is the secret sauce, isn't it? However you do it, whether it's slicked up or whether it's just a quick 5-minute video on your iPhone, it's that genuine thing. And it brought it home to me recently because I do these little videos like on my iPhone in the kitchen,
right?
And I'm like, oh God, I always think I should do them better, like put some makeup on and do my hair, but I'm normally, you know, no makeup, straight out of the gym, hair scraped back, and then I think, oh, I'll put up another shit video. But actually, lately, people are saying, I really like your videos, I don't stop doing them.
Great.
And I was surprised that people did, because I thought, oh my God, they're bloody awful. I almost at the
end. Is another word for authentic human?
Yes.
If you're cutting through everything, it's, and that might be, that will be the big differentiator in the world yeah. of technology coming through. It's going to be more polished, it can be authentic to your message, but is it human?
Yes.
And I can imagine that's the point, right? That's the story, that's what share, that's what people tell their friends about, that's what moves them, that's why we watch live sport, that's why we watch theatre, right? So
yeah.
I actually got a question. You said about superpowers earlier.
Yeah.
What would you say your superpower is?
Nice question. I like it. I'm clearly playing for time
on the
here.
Spot, yeah.
So playing for time. Absolutely rumbled. I would say that my superpower, ooh, it's good. It's good. I don't know. I think sometimes when I worked with students, actually, it was, I used to be able to, I'm going to go meta. My superpower is being able to help other, being able to work out what other people's superpowers are.
Do you think your superpowers change when you're an actor to training to now video? So you would have different things you thought you may be better at as an actor.
Yeah, that's a really, really good way of thinking about it, because I guess to my mind, I'm always thinking about what is the consistent threads. You know, I'm excited by the new frontiers of the different aspects as I've moved, but always thinking about, you know, what is the core that remains the same. But you're right, things will have changed. I think, certainly as an actor, particularly, you know, in terms of hardworking and being, my superpower that I started off with, I think, was my brain. I came from doing an English degree, so I was always story first. And the thing that I learned from when I went into that world, when I went and spent 2 years rolling around on the floor, personifying vowels. I'm not kidding. But then genuinely, it was great. I was right around being an ooh. Hey. I know it sounds crazy, but you've got to do it. Hey, you could see it, but sadly, it's a podcast. I'm doing it right now, people, yeah. but you can't see. Was being able to get out of my head and into my body, which is also something I've taken with me in terms of working with people. Rather than just thinking, this is how the line should go, this is the most insightful reading of this, is actually that being in the momentness. So what that taught me was that my superpower was this, but actually what I needed was something to augment that. So I didn't need to try necessarily in the area that I was good at. What I needed was to focus on the other things to bring them up.
Yeah.
And then in teaching, I think it was it was probably knowledge, I think, being aware of not necessarily the technical stuff itself, but more the knowledge of what's out there. That superpower of being able to tell the future, at least for my students as well, and knowing what they needed in order to be armed well enough to succeed. And I think now, I think it's probably the opposite. I think it's that superpower is the awareness of the of everywhere you've been, right? And all of us, you know, Faye, I know you've moved from one career to the other. I think we're always the better for all of the experiences that we've accumulated. And that stuff that we don't know that we have that has made us specific in our fields, right? I mean, there's loads of brilliant videographers out there. And I'm not just a videographer, I'm a presentation storytelling coach as well. But that's great. And there's people out there, there's companies out there who will do really amazing stuff, who are really, really slick and have, you know, super powerful cinema cameras, all that sort of jazz. And that's great. And there's space for everything. But for me, my superpower within that niche is everything that we've been talking about. The stuff that's taken me to this point that means that I'm actually really interested in, you know, in the person and the story. And it's one of those things that I feel possibly, and we might play this podcast back at a later date and go, oh, that was the moment of his demise. It's one of those things that I feel has future-proofed me. Oh, I've said it, clang. For where we're going with whatever technology and AI and user-generated content and all that sort of stuff might give us in terms of those tools, is that actually it's not about within video really saying, I've got the best camera. Mm. Like, Faye, your selling point is not, have you seen my mixer? I've got the best oven, right?
Definitely it's, not. Yeah.
It's going to be the creativity and the taste and the flavor and the visuals and all of that stuff that makes your cakes, your gingerbread, what it is. So it's not about saying I've got the best equipment. It's about actually thinking about, well, okay, where's the story? Yeah. How do we work with people? You know, how do you make that person click? How do you make that person come alive? And maybe that's really finding the thing that they really want to talk about. Sometimes, frankly, guys, that's filming enough stuff that you can just pick the right bits. Mm. Yeah. Because really it is an editing process. But that's the sort of thing that makes me feel excited to go into work, is to meet those people and find out what those stories are and then work out how to get them out there.
So drilling down perhaps into some of the clients that you've worked with in the past, are there particular ones that stick in your mind? And I'm not saying names or anything, but sort of talking generally, where you really feel like you've achieved a fantastic project end for them, that you've come up with a video that really nails what they want to do. That they've come in, perhaps they've been quite difficult to deal with, but you've overcome their fears and come up with something that's, you thought, wow, I was really pleased with that piece of work.
Yes. But for me, I think I've got to be mindful about not being too pleased with my own work, but thinking about actually has this always going back to that discipline of going back to the objective. Has this achieved the objective that the client wants from this?
Yeah.
So there's a few that stick in my mind in terms of being able to find ways of telling that story. When, you know, ones that are visual.
Yeah.
As well as storytelling, as well as delivery. So sidestepping around different clients and different projects, I think, those ones where I've been able to find a really good match of them saying what they need to say, but also I think one of the most satisfying things and one of the most impactful things is often cutting the flab and doing what Steve McQueen did in The Magnificent Seven. So on getting the script for Magnificent Seven, Steve McQueen was looking through it. He's in there with all these great actors, Yul Brynner, all these other big names, and he's crossing out lines of his own dialogue.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I don't need that. I can do that with a look, because he's actually giving himself less exposition and more screen time, more that impactful human moment that you talked about earlier, Bruce. So I think it's always useful when I realise we can go back through that and actually go, oh, we don't need that. Yeah. This works better without that. Actually, that look of that someone at that trade show who's having a proper laugh with their friend communicates far more. That does that the job of the thing that we were trying to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, what is the most efficiently human way we can get that across? And finding ways to do that is always particularly satisfying. And also particularly satisfying, I think, when clients keep coming back as well. Yeah. When you've built that relationship and you're invested in their story, you know what the next chapter of their story might be and you can help them tell it.
Yeah.
And I've had a number of clients that I work with repeatedly that that's the most satisfying thing, is when we also, when we can go back to a story and go, how can we turn this on its head?
So you've sort of seen almost an evolution in their business as well, which is, I suppose, quite nice to be part of.
Yeah.
Actually, I was just thinking, do you ever have it like the reverse? You know, you talk about people who might be quite animated when you're just having a chat. The minute you put a camera there, they're like, you know. Do you ever have people the other way that are kind of like quite, then you put a camera and they're suddenly like, wow, and they're going for it? Do you ever get that?
And
you have to almost tone it down a bit because they're just selling it.
Not quite to that extent, to be honest. I've never had anyone ask anyone to tone it down in that sense.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
Yeah.
What I might ask people to do is, it's not necessarily about toning it down. It might well be that I don't believe you. You know, this again coming back to when I used to, you know, used to teach actors. You know, it might be good that you're putting a lot of effort into this. You're throwing a lot of energy at this, but it's not authentic.
Yeah.
Actually, let's just, or sometimes actually the opposite, it's pace.
Yeah.
So I was working with a client on a sales presentation that they give to a series of all of their clients, you know, a series of one-to-ones. So this guy does this sales presentation a lot. And I guess he was a version of what you were just saying there, in that he was coming in with loads of energy, lots of talking, really fast, in some ways quite, you know, Bruce, you mentioned sort of that transfer of enthusiasm, thought about sales earlier. In that sense, he was absolutely taking that box. But the reason for that energy didn't feel contained. It didn't feel safe. It wasn't necessarily giving enough space for the person he was speaking to, for his audience, to let things land. I mean, we all know the power of a pause, right? There it was. Don't do too many on an audio medium. So allowing that pause to let things land, he was full of, you know, sound and energy. And we realized that was down to a few things. His own comfort.
His
lack of confidence.
Okay.
He was overcompensating. Yeah. And that's often what people are doing in that situation. And some of the fixes for that were structural. So we went back to the story that he was telling. We went back to the slide deck that was a mishmash of things that other people had done that he felt he just had to explain. And basically, he was doing these slides and dancing over the top of every one of them, rather than just... So we went back to basics. We stripped so much out of the actual structure of the story he was telling. Who goes back to objective. Mm. Who are you talking to? What do you want them to do? Okay, your audience is this. This is what they know. This is what they need. So let's give them those little, let's parcel that up so you're not giving them everything all at once. You're giving them these little parcels of information that are the right things at the right time. You're scrubbing out stuff, particularly from slides that aren't necessary, thinking this is the thing that the slide can do, then this is the thing that I do. We're not both doing the same thing at the same time. He was so much more comfortable with what the story that he was telling that, and then he was able to use his superpower, which was his enthusiasm and energy, in bursts where it's needed, but then found the counterpoint to that of, this is where I'm going to slow down. I'm just going to let you look at this for a second. And that element of slowing down to be like, oh, actually, well, if your de facto speed is fast and energetic, then your sort of perfect moment, therefore, is when you change that, is when you slow that down. That's when people go, oh, Dan must really mean this. This must be the important bit. Mm. So those two things, story structure and story delivery, that are you know, they're separate, but they're also completely interlinked. Often find if you get the structure right, then that aids the delivery. Now, then we can begin to tweak the delivery. Then you begin to feel like you're on solid footing because you know what your objectives are for each part of the story that you're telling. And then things begin to fall into place. And only then can we begin to work on those things like, okay, let's get your hands into play a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let's find a little bit more variance to your voice.
Yeah.
All of those things.
But that's the icing. You have to have a cake to put any icing on it, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Very nice. Can we just check, is this true? You can't put the icing on nothing.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Cardboard box, maybe.
Yeah. So it comes back to those things. The story comes first. If the story works, then the storytelling helps. It helps that really, really be able to flow.
That's really interesting because it's there's so much involved in it. I mean, it's so easy to sort of think, oh, like you say, just throw up a video. But actually, really, there's an awful lot more that goes into producing a video, whether it's, you know, sort of off the cuff or, you know, more slick. There is an awful lot to think about in terms of making it authentic and giving, as you said, that human element to it, I think.
And there's all different types, you know, and that's great. It's within, you know, within the industry that I'm in, the video side of it at least, there's all different types, and that's great. And there should be, because weirdly, our appetite for this doesn't seem to have dimmed. All of these social platforms adding more and more video. LinkedIn's just added vertical. So, you know, our appetites for those don't seem to change. We just need a wider menu.
Well, I mean, we're coming to the end of the podcast now, but following on from that, really, I mean, what do you see is the future of, well, like video telling and story screen itself? I mean, do you think the appetite is just going to keep growing for video? It's not a medium that's going to go away, is it? It's going to be around for a good while.
No, it's not. It's not. We don't seem to have, it doesn't, like I said, the appetite isn't abating for that. There was two questions in there, and I'm going to try and take each of them in turn. One was the medium itself, and one was story screen, which is my business. So I think the medium itself is just going to keep proliferating. I mean, we still have, there'll be space for long form, there'll be space for short form. You know, we see all the TikTok, all the videos with like transition.
Yeah.
And those are out there, and they, you know, they're the sort of fast food of it, and they keep people's interest. And there's space for those. There's space for things that are a little bit more deeper and more meditative. You know, look at YouTube. There's all sorts of varieties of length on there. So as for what the future of that is, who can tell? But I know that the point of it should still remain the same.
Yeah.
The technology and the stuff around it and the way we consume it will change, but the reason why we want to watch another person won't. In terms of the business, I think I'm at a very... It's been 3.5 years now, hasn't been long at all, really in its infancy. I'm at the stage which is so just so normal for all businesses of like, oh God, I can't do all this myself anymore, can I? So I'm at the stage of growth where I'm bringing in lots of other freelancers, and I've tried others, and I've found people that I really trust that are really good at what they do, so that I can spend more time doing the thing that is my superpower, which is working with the clients and the people in the story, storyboarding it, and sort of, you know, less time. As much as I love the new journey for me of this last 4 or 5 years of being behind the camera, and being able to delegate more of the technical elements so that I can be able to keep being where I want as, you know, as the business grows, as we get, you know, as we're doing more work and things are growing every year, so that I can make the most of myself. Give the most value and help people tell the best stories rather than the most stories.
Brilliant. Well, thank you ever so much for coming in, Dan. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and hearing all about your business. And we look forward to seeing plenty more videos from you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dan. Where can people find you online? Or any handles for people to...
So you can find the website storyscreen.co.uk, and you can find me on LinkedIn under Dan Ford.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hubbub, the Directors Hub podcast, sponsored by the Sussex Business Show.